with another edition of What's on Your Mind. We're going to keep an eye on the Senate Judiciary Committee because there's some games beginning to emerge there. You know what the bad sign is? When they walk in with their goofy posters, you know that it's going to be interesting. So they're walking in with their posters, and they're going to talk about this shouldn't happen and it shouldn't happen. And we'll keep an eye on that. But I can see Lindsey Graham's frustration level increasing.
And after an unfortunate shark attack, losing her leg above the knee, thing we played yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Single cases they bring up.
It's
odd.
It's what they do. I just heard Jonathan Turley on Fox say, you know, the funny thing is all these guys like each other, and they're very, very, you know, amicable to each other when the cameras are off. When the cameras are on, it's like WWF, and they get out the tights, and, you know, they do the pile drivers, you know, kind of crazy. Jason Lewis will be here, candidate for Senate in Minnesota, for an update on the campaign. Governor Doug Burgum, most of the final hour. And also we're going to talk with someone else about the Amy Coney Barrett nomination as well, a legal expert. So stay tuned for all that. We start, though, with Mark Lauder. Mark is the director of strategic communications for the Trump campaign. Talk a little bit about where's Hunter? I don't know. Do you know where Hunter is, Mark? Do you?
Well, you know, I think we're finding getting a clearer picture of it finally. He's cashing in on his dad's service as vice president while he was vice president of the United States. I mean, these emails that have come out that the mainstream media, the big tech companies are literally censoring so the American people can't see it, paint a very clear picture that Joe Biden lied to America. Hunter Biden was cashing in on his dad's service. The Ukrainians were asking him to use his influence, and he actually set up a meeting with his father, which Joe Biden has lied to us about repeatedly.
Yeah, no, it is. The idea, I'm almost of the belief that Twitter censoring this is the bigger story. When big tech starts, you know, censoring things, what does this remind you of in history? I mean, wow. I can't believe it.
It's not America. And let's put this into context. They have actually censored and locked the White House press secretary out of her personal Twitter account. They this morning locked the Team Trump, the official Twitter handle of our reelection campaign, out of our account 19 days before an election. They are putting their thumbs on the scales, and they are trying to keep the truth from the American people. They might be able to hide the truth and hide Joe Biden, but I think the American people are going to see it.
Yeah, they must have been a little worried about all this news at the Biden camp yesterday. I see they put a lid in at 10:30, meaning basically that, you know, he's in his pajamas and hanging out at home for the rest of the day. Which, you know, when you consider 19 days till an election, it's just bizarre what's going on there. But we do need to get to the bottom of this, whether Twitter or Facebook or anybody else wants to cooperate with it. And by the way, I did see Twitter's president yesterday come out and say, "Hey, we blew this. We didn't handle it right." So why would they then be doing the Trump campaign Twitter account today? What's going on there?
Well, you really have to ask yourself. I mean, what you saw from Twitter's CEO was that they handled it bad on a PR standpoint. They didn't get to the function of it, which is the same way the Biden team has responded. They're not actually pushing back on any of this. They've actually admitted, well, we can't say that he didn't meet him. It just wasn't on the official calendar. By the way, we've got at least three instances where he's had meetings related to the Russia collusion witch hunt or Hunter Biden and his family's businesses that weren't on his official calendar. But they're saying this is a PR issue and not a fact-based issue. And, you know, it's interesting the double standard they show. You know, they take the steps to censor news from the American people that they don't like and say, well, it's leaked materials, it's hacked materials, which is obviously not true. But when they get leaked and hacked material like the president's taxes, oh, they're all in on it.
What do you think is the most damning in the actual evidence that we have about Hunter Biden that came out yesterday?
Well, I think the damning evidence is what we knew to be true already was that Hunter Biden was trading his influence, selling his influence to his father, the then vice president of the United States, while he was in office and the head of Ukraine policy, for tens of thousands of dollars a month. But even more so, it exposed Joe Biden as a liar. because he has told us on multiple occasions that he had no discussions with Hunter or his business associates about his foreign business influence peddling.
And that's
we now know that to be not true.
Yeah, this is a judgment issue too, isn't it? I mean, okay, bring the son along, let him go off there in Ukraine, cut some deals, and hey, come along to China and cut some deals, and then you claim, well, I didn't know anything about it. Now you are proven a liar on that point based on, you know, Hunter Biden's own emails. So that's probably going to have the most lasting impact on the campaign and the race, assuming it gets reported, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, the American people don't tolerate being lied to. And we've now seen this, and it's been proven by Joe Biden on multiple occasions. And we don't like influence peddling. And, you know, but this is not the first time that Joe Biden has lied to us. I mean, he told a bunch of workers in Michigan he's never earned more than $400,000 in his life. That's why he's not going to raise taxes on people who make less. But his taxes, he released his taxes, and it showed he made $1 million last year. I mean, so time and time again, Joe Biden won't tell us the truth about his income, where he stands on court packing. I mean, where does it stop, and how long until the American people see through this facade that they're trying to hide from the American people, not just Joe Biden, but the actual facts?
Lindsey Graham is swatting flies right now in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Let's dip into this a little bit. I just saw Amy Klobuchar's hands flailing around here, so let's see what he says in response to this.
Amy was just commenting on how this should be America's pick, not Donald Trump's judgment here.
But it was equally obvious to me, Senator Klobuchar, that whatever personal opinions I have, I'm sure I didn't even ask him for a pro-choice. Do you think it would be hard to follow the tracks of Justice Ginsburg? She worked for the ACLU. She was a prominent progressive thought leader. She openly talked about her pro-choice views, and she had every right to hold them. And she was true to herself. And when the Senate voted, they knew they were getting someone very special, but from a conservative point of view, with a completely different philosophy. And the Senate saw the same thing in Scalia. How much tracks did you need to figure out that Scalia would be an originalist? And the bottom line with Judge Barrett, like Sotomayor and Kagan, she's somebody that a Republican would pick.
Interesting. Lindsey Graham is doing a good job of shredding these arguments one by one. It was supposed to go to a panel, and they're all having a hissy fit now about all the process stuff and the delays. And, you know, Abe Lincoln didn't do this, so why are you doing this? And then Ted Cruz gets up and says, Abe Lincoln didn't nominate because the Senate wasn't in session. Hello, that isn't, you know. And the second they were, he nominated him, a replacement, and they were confirmed on the same dang day. I'd like that program. That'd be wonderful. What do you make of this, Mark? What's going on today in the Senate and with this process, just in general, with the vetting of Amy Coney Barrett?
Well, I mean, obviously, Amy Coney Barrett, you know, did absolutely an amazing job to sit up there with a blank notebook and just to basically the professor took Democrats on the Judiciary Committee to school. And she taught them something about, A, how you should comport yourself, B, how a phenomenal jurist and lawyer and legal scholar should be able to be to sit on the Supreme Court. And also, it's about time. She's the first mother of working age of school age children to ever sit on the United States Supreme Court. I think it's about time for that. The Democrats know they can't stop this. They know it's a losing issue for them. So now all they're going to do is throw their hissy fits over process. And I would remind Senator Klobuchar that the American people did speak. They spoke in 2016 when they elected President Trump. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself said the president's term is 4 years, not 3 years and 6 months or 3 years and 9 months. And they also voted in 2018 to expand the Republican majority in the United States Senate. So the people did speak, and we're going to see that in action when she's confirmed here in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, great points. Good to catch up, Mark. Thanks for the time. The Director of Strategic Communications for the Trump campaign. By the way, we have an idea for some strategic communications for the president. What he did for the nation by being on Rush Limbaugh I thought was fantastic. We'll do a regional version of that here for our friends in Minnesota. And the Dakotas. So sign us up for that one, Mark, would you?
I'll let him know.
All right, beautiful. We'll take a break after I give away a hat. And you need to call simply 271-1100, 271-1100. Just look at your radio dial and you can remember the number nice and easy. 271, what's the radio dial? 1100. There we go, 271-1100. What number caller do you want, Kev?
Let's go caller 9.
Caller 9.
Caller number 9.
The number of my, one of my favorite UND hockey players. And there are many of them.
Who's that?
There were 9. I was thinking of Greg Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Greg Johnson. Rest his soul. Lost him a couple of years ago. A dandy of a guy. Jeff Bowen wore it, too. Yeah. So, best man at my wedding.
All right, now all I've got is the Blaze Orange hat left, so we're the blacks are sold out.
Little Sioux hockey history. 50 days for freedom, ladies and gentlemen. 50 days for freedom. That's right. Call 271-1100. 271-1100. Be caller 9. Get yourself a Blaze Orange flag hat. We're after that. Congratulations to Julie Morlock wins a Blaze Orange flag.
50 days of freedom hat, and she's excited going to give it to her son because he's a hunter.
You called it a hat. I'm calling it a stocking cap from now on.
It is a stocking cap. That's right. It is. That's correct.
I saw somebody yesterday wearing one. I said, is that a stocking cap? I said, no, it's a cap. I was like, okay. It's on your head. It's a stocking cap to me, but you know how that works. Chose Investments bringing you our program today. Our friend Monty Chose. And his team at Chose Investments, Scott and Monty, really know the landscape well. So if you're looking for a new business location, you're looking to expand, you're looking to build a new whatever it is, the locations, the land, the properties, what's available to move into, what are the prices, they can handle you on all of that. Chose Investments, KJOSinvestments.com. Well, there he is, folks. Right there behind the microphone. Jim Casper. Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm fine, Scott. Good morning.
Jim is District 46 representative that is going into how many elections for you?
Well, I first elected in 2000, so this is my sixth.
2006.
2000, no. First election. This is my sixth election.
You went in 2000.
I won in 2000, and so...
And is this... talk about what you most like in representing people. What gets you just... Your engines fired up, you're rolling up your sleeves, you're going to town.
Well, Scott, the most enjoyable part, I think, is when people call with problems, and you're able to solve those problems because of... how I've learned to understand state government. As an example, a highway patrolman from Williston called, had been injured severely, had to be flown in an airplane to Rapid City by an airplane that was not in the system. He and his family were balanced billed almost $70,000 that insurance would not cover. They had tried every possibility to get some resolution. They called me, even though I'm here in Fargo. One of the legislators in Williston said, give Jim Casper a call. I got involved. We were able to reduce that balance bill almost to nothing. So when you are able to help people when they have problems, that's really the most rewarding part of being a legislator representing District 46 in the Fargo area.
And it's a good reminder to call your legislators.
Absolutely.
Right?
I get calls constantly, Scott, for people with problems, whether it's unemployment, whether it's health care, whatever it may be. And there's so much work we do behind the scenes that, you know, people don't know about it. And we don't get on the air and publicize it. Gee, let me tell you what I did yesterday for somebody. It's part of our job. You just do your job and do it the best way you can.
Knowing you as I do, I'm guessing there's a few things on your to-do list that you still want to accomplish in the legislature, because you're not afraid to just keep ramming your head against the wall to stand up for the conservative cause. What's next on the list?
I've got about 8 or 9 bills I'm working on. Some of them I don't really want to talk about right now. But one of the things I've championed since I've been there, Scott, is property tax reform. We still have a system of property tax where people really have very little say in the budgets of the local areas. I've asked the legislature many times to allow the people to vote on budget increases that are in excess of a certain percentage. The last bill I had said that if the local political subdivision wishes to expand their budget more than 3%, then the people ought to be able to vote on it. If they want to build new buildings, like the school buildings that are being built, the people ought to have a say. And so far have not been able to get those caps. There's many states that have imposed budget caps, but North Dakota still has not. So that's one of the areas that we still need to work on is property tax reform. We need to be able to keep people in their homes. And one of the big things when our seniors retire is maybe their mortgage is paid off, but those property taxes continue.
One thing you did accomplish that I think people appreciate if they pay attention and get that property tax bill from the county, there's now a level of transparency there that wasn't there before. That came from the legislature, right?
Yes, that was part of one of my bills. What's interesting, Scott, the House and the Senate controlled by the Republican Party, but we're territorial. So I had a number of bills introduced that if you look at the back of your property tax, there's three years of records. So you know the current year and the prior 2 years of what your property taxes were and what the political subdivision levied how much. That was in one of my bills that we passed the House. It went to the Senate. Senate killed my bill and took some of those ideas, and particularly that one, and put it in one of the Senate bills, and it's passed. So the transparency on the back of the property tax statement was my idea way back when.
And the trick there is for people to do something about it. I mean, to actually watch that and say, hey, whoa, you know. I look at it every time as someone that has kids in the Catholic school system, and I think, I am paying a lot of money for nothing. That automatically goes to the public school system, and I'm writing a check over here. Now, I do it all day long, but part of me wants to say, I want to get under that hood a little bit, find out what Fargo Public School is spending their money on, you know?
Well, and of course, they have, their budget is transparent, but, you know, how it's put together, that's a question, and people are busy, Scott. They don't have a lot of time, so we need to get more of the ideas on how budgets are put together out to the people so they can understand them easier.
And, you know, that transparency certainly helps as well. Anything else you want to tell folks about today?
Well, I think one of the big battles in the next legislative session is going to be the budget. We're looking at the latest revenue projections of about a $745 million budget shortfall that would be needed to stay where we're at this time around. So there's going to be a huge battle. And we've got to continue the fight for the Fargo Diversion Project. The state of North Dakota has committed $750 million to help us build the diversion. It's going to be a battle to get the money appropriated because of the shortfall. I'll be there. I'm part of leadership. I'm one of only 10 committee chairs. I'm involved in a lot of the leadership discussions when I'm there. And we need people from Fargo who have the leadership ability, the experience, and the relationships to keep the diversion project moving forward. That's one of the things that will be a big focus of mine when I'm out there in the next session.
And between now and Election Day, you're going to be
campaigning. You know, the COVID has stopped us from going door to door. We've got radio ads going out. We're sending postcards out to the people. We're doing Facebook notices. That's a different way of campaigning. But you just got to try to keep on getting your message out and hope the people that support you will get to the polls and vote for Jim Casper on November 3rd or before in the early voting.
And when you do interact with voters, are they saying, fix this, fix that? What do you hear the most about?
What I hear the most about, Scott, is leave us alone. We understand that we have to be socially responsible. Most people are. We'll wear masks. We don't want mandates, but we will be responsible. But let us get our lives, open business back up. Let our kids get back to school so we can try to get to normalcy. And people are very frustrated and somewhat still irritated because of this whole mess. And COVID hasn't gone away, unfortunately.
Jim, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate being here.
You bet. Now till Election Day. Focusing in on the races that you are asking us about. So make sure you let us know if there's somebody you'd like to hear from before Election Day. Happy to chat with them. Jim Casper, District 46 representative. We're brought to you in part today by our friends at Designer Smiles. Are you done with dentures, by the way? You look at that steak across the table and you say, no, this just isn't fair. I can't. I want to eat that delicious steak. Well, it's time for a switch. Designer Smiles and Dr. Jeff should be your first call for a complimentary, no obligation consultation. That's right. Complimentary consultation. No obligation. 701-298-9400. Just learn about it. Find out what's available. Talk with the pros about it. That's our man, Dr. Jeff. If you're done with dentures, make that call to Dr. Jeff and Designer Smile. 701-298-9400. 701-298-9400. Find out more at FargoDentalCare.com. Governor Doug Burgum coming up in our 10 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to Jason Lewis as well, and a legal expert on Amy Coney Barrett. Something tells me we're going to be dipping in and out of the Judiciary Committee quite a bit, because this is not going as planned this morning. They've got kind of an orchestrated wine fest to hold this thing up. Richard Blumenthal. Not to be confused with the Clinton era Sidney Blumenthal. Richard Blumenthal from the Senate Judiciary Committee is whining right now. More on that when we continue on What's On Your Mind.